Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Well, beloved, I've fallen into Acts chapter 11, and I cannot get out. We are talking about Barnabas, and we are going to stay as long as we need to. Remember this man, this leader of leaders, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Remember, his name is Joseph, but he is nicknamed by the apostles Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of hope, the son of encouragement. Wherever this guy went, there was grace and truth. Did you know we don't need grace or truth? We need grace and truth. Grace without truth is license. Truth without grace is legalism. So what we need is to see God continue the balancing work of Barnabas. And you know, when I just say his name, I see a community, a Barnabai. I look at all of you and the people that are hearing the sound of my voice right now are Barnabai. You belong to this school. Now, remember, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about the fact that Barnabas, this man of balance and graciousness and encouragement, was used by God. He would touch the untouchable. Remember when Saul becomes Paul? No one will have anything to do with it. Barnabas becomes a bridge. And he vouches for Paul, and he brings him to the apostles. And then they separate about 12 years. And then guess what? The greatest work of God ever happens in Acts chapter 11, the church at Antioch. Now, we just touched on this last week, but loved one, what do you do when something's never been done before? I mean, how rare is it that something is really rare, like you've never seen it before? Well, that's what happened. You know, we're so used to hearing the gospel. We're so used to hearing Jesus died for our sins, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Well, guess what? They didn't have that all down. In Acts chapter 10, up until chapter 10, every believer for the first decade of the church were all Jewish believers. The Ma'aminim, they were the believers in Jesus. And no Gentile had ever been saved. And then Peter is having a little suntan. He's on the roof in Joppa, and he has a vision. God gives him a vision three times. He's like most of you. And the vision was, couldn't get it the first time, wouldn't believe it the second time. What he saw was, it's like a big curtain, like a bed curtain, and it was dropped down in front of Peter, and it was full of unkosher animals. There's an ostrich, there's an owl, there's some hamsters. I mean, all this filthy, unclean food. And the voice says, Peter, rise, eat everything that is on the sheet. And Peter goes, nothing common or unclean has ever come into this Jewish mouth. Is there anyone else up there? He had to rebuke it, right? Because God himself certainly wouldn't counter his own word by just dropping kashrut. It was a big deal, by the way, the clean and unclean animal distinctions. That's huge. And Peter doubts it. And so second time, this bed sheet is let down. And he sees more foul, filthy, probably some, clams, and there's some lobster and some, everything that would make the Jewish soul recoil. And he's told again, have lunch. I want you to eat everything on your plate, Peter. And he goes, no, whoever you are. Have you argued with God ever? Tried to cast the Holy Spirit out? He doesn't come out, by the way. I've tried to cast him out many times. I've tried to cast Jesus out in his own name. Come out. He goes, no, Craig, it's me. So the third time he's told this strange word, namely, don't you ever call common or unclean what I have cleansed. Don't. And Peter is getting what's going on? Peter's stubborn. Peter has a ministry geared to the Jewish community. And now he's being told kosher is done. And the whole point of it, he's like scratching his head. He woke up, doesn't know what's going on. And the Holy Spirit said, there are two men coming to get you. Don't go with them. Answer nothing, but say yes. You know how you're going to talk yourself out of something? He goes, don't let them scare you. Well, who are they? They're two Gentiles, Roman soldiers, and they are under the authority of a man named Cornelius in Caesarea, who's a Roman. And they said, our master had a dream. An angel told him to come and get a guy named Peter. And that's you, right? Well, come into his Gentile home. No, Lord, you're going to shake everything up. Jesus always messes everything up. It's all neat and tidy, right? You've got control of your life. And then he comes in and says, oh, Peter, by the way, we're going to do something today in Caesarea that has never, ever been done before. A Gentile dog is going to receive Christ as Savior. Go preach the gospel to him. Pray the sinner's prayer with him. This doesn't sound like a big deal to you. Okay? But we don't even have anything in our culture. Even our racial problems in the history of our culture cannot give you deep enough passion to realize the divide between the Jew and the Gentile. It was an impenetrable wall, right? They are Gentile dogs and pigs, and they're out there, and we don't even touch them, let alone talk to them, let alone go into their house, receive hospitality, and drink from the same vessel, and all of a sudden God does this new thing, and he's going to need a Barnabas. God's about to do some stuff, and he needs a Barnabas. He needs men, women, boys, and girls who are flexible enough to go where no one has ever gone before. And in this case, this is Acts chapter 10, right? Peter's freaking out. So everybody starts hearing about this. This is like a suspicious. Whenever God moves, it looks suspicious. Remember all that gold in the temple, the tabernacle? Where did that come from? That came from idols that were melted down. Remember when they left Egypt? They took all the wealth of Egypt. Well, it wasn't in cash. Those were golden little idols and gods. Can you imagine carrying your sled full of golden gods out of Egypt? Ew, that's suspicious. Don't touch that. Put that down. You imagine every mother. Put that down. No, little Solly can play with it. It's okay. Because what God cleanses, don't you call common or unclean. When God touches a life, it's completely given over to him. It was Pablo Escobar's money 50 seconds ago. Now it's called into the ministry. As soon as God touches something, it becomes holy. And so the everything God does is so suspicious. So this is really suspicion on steroids. When something's never been done before, you got to send the right people. Because if you send the wrong person to examine a new work, they can quench the very work of God. Has anyone ever quenched you? Don't look at each other. Don't respond. But I just wanted to mention here a few facts that have been here for weeks, but I haven't formally read them out. Barnabas is a leader maker. That's what he is. He's a leader maker, and that's what I'm talking to. I'm talking to leader makers. A leader maker takes risks. Barnabas, we've been seeing him in the narrative. He's always risking. It's like, Barnabas, what if that misfires? You know, the two animals that rob faith, the what if and the yeah, but. What if it goes wrong? Yeah, but this could be the devil. You know, the what if and the yeah, but, they're just always, that's such a little book I want to write someday. Because every time we want to be confident, we see, yeah, but this may be the devil. Isn't it funny how powerful the devil seems to be? I saw someone receive a wonderful healing in their life and someone said, well, it might be Satan. I thought, Satan healed the child? Come on. Your devil picture needs to be a little more biblical. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have no equal. The thrice holy God does not have a devil on the shelf right next to him. He's a creature just like all of us, and he's fallen, and he's already under judgment. So don't you ever try to put him up on the shelf with the thrice holy God. No. We have an enemy. God has no enemy. You imagine God going, oh, I'm one of my fallen, broken creatures. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. go to plan B. You know, there is no plan B. Good God. You think so highly of yourself? Leader makers take risks. Barnabas took risks. And leader makers are patient with the failures of others. See, if you want to make leaders, you're only going to be dealing with flawed material. The same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. But you know what I mean? We're disciplers. We're called to be leader makers. And guess what? You're going to deal with people. And when you deal with people, it gets complicated. And it's messy work because everybody has a mess somewhere in their life. But isn't it nice that God isn't waiting until you become perfect before he uses you? Or he would never have used you. Leader makers have to deal with actual real life stuff. Someone told me once, they said, you know, you can go to church and look better and be doing worse, but you can go to a 12-step group and look worse, but be doing better because you're able to tell the truth. Sometimes you have to go to a group, whatever it is, say, hi, my name is Billy and I'm a whatever. I'm a addict or I'm a this or that. Hey, Billy, how you doing? You can go tell the truth. You go to church, you have to play. You have to put a mask on. Super good and getting better. Hey, brother. Hallelujah. The divine dialect. Wow, wasn't the anointing amazing? I know, it was so incredible. The Shekinah was everywhere. What? The divine dialect? What? You see, you leader makers have to be honest and authentic people. Because that's all God's got is sinners. That's the material out of which you come, little clay pot. You're dug out of the ground. Well, Barnabas knew this. And so he was not only a risk taker, but he was patient with the failures of others. You need to be patient. Leader makers are humble and stand in the background while others are put in the foreground. Wow. Humble man, Barnabas. As are all the Barnabai. They're humble. That's their primary streak, is humility. You know, a guy named John Dawson once told me, he said, Craig, in every decision you ever make, you're either exalting yourself or humbling yourself. Only two things. When you're making a moral decision, when you're making any decision, you can only exalt yourself or humble yourself. And he said, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And he said, if you humble yourself, even when you're right and they're wrong, God sees it and will bless you. But I'm right. Oh, that's rare as hen's teeth. Yeah, we better put a spotlight on it. You can be dead right. You can win the argument, lose the relationship. Do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? That was an important question. I'm right. All the Pharisees were right. But you know what? I think you're exalting yourself when you want to be right all the time. What's the big deal about you? So what? They're right. So what? Okay, once you're correct, let it go. Let it go. Barnabas had this knack of he wanted to be reconciled instead of be right. And when you're around someone like that, you can actually grow. You know, it's shocking, isn't it? He's so humble, he stands in the background while Saul is put forward. He says, you know what, there's a better guy than me to run this ministry. Go get him. And they had to search for him in Damascus. Saul, the tent maker, he said, go search for him. I can't handle this ministry by myself. Next, leader makers discern between embers and ashes. I mentioned that last week, that boy, you got to be able to see what's yet alive and stir it back into a flame. Remember the Messiah, a bruised reed he would not break, and dimly, barely burning flax he would not quench. If you want to know the character of Jesus, like his tone and body language, he would never by his tone and body language and inflection quench you. Do you know worldviews are communicated with eye rolls, sneers, body posturing? It's not nothing anybody has to say. The high look. I see people in restaurants. Hi, is this a restaurant? Can we order food? Are you a waitress? One of Michael's nurses for years, Shannon, she used to work at a country club up in Montecito. And she was serving a table of eight people led by the matriarch was sitting at the table. And she brought a dessert to the young grandson who looked at her and said to Shannon, said, thank you so much. And grandma said, we don't talk to them. Shannon said, I can't even tell you how that cut me to. This matriarch mentoring and discipling the only pure heart at the table that's still malleable. She's paid for that. You don't talk to her. People do that in the spirit all the time. They do some version of the quench. Barnabas wouldn't do that. You just couldn't engage him. It's like, okay, hey, God bless you. It's okay. We're good. You know, you can step away in humility from conflict. You don't need to just, well, it's true, and I'm going to go in and handle this right now. I'm so sick of preachers like that. My God, the last 2 weeks. You know, I've been raised in apologetic circles defending the Christian faith, and I know a lot of these guys, but dear Lord, some of these guys, they have the affect of a buzzsaw. Literally, the emotional capacity of a wood chipper. You know, just, well, it's true, and it's the gospel, and it's true. You know, and they're just, the fragrance given off is, it's beyond filthy. You know, it's beyond, I'm so smart, and you're such an idiot. You know, it's the eye rolling. Barnabas didn't have it. Leader makers can't afford to imbibe that spirit of cynicism and false knowledge. The Apostle Paul knew more than anyone in his day. And in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I saw things that I can't even talk about, but I have to be a very humble man because of the gifts that God has given me. John Bunyan said, he that is face down has no fear of falling. Stay down. Stay down. I'm going to get out and take control of this whole thing. There goes your head. See, you're either exalting yourself or you're humbling yourself at all times. And Barnabas is our mentor. He's just saying, don't do that. Humble yourself even when you're right. Even when you're right. And God says, I saw that. That was good. Good, baby. That was very good. Thank you. The Barnabai, that's what they're like. And see, that's a spirit that is going to be able to negotiate every camp in the body of Christ coming up, is this Barnabas spirit. Because see, I'm not just talking to normal people. I don't want 5 million people sitting here. I'm talking to leaders. I'm shaping and discipling leaders of leaders. I would rather reach the guy who reaches the guy. I would rather be on the telephone with a young preacher in his 20s that has the energy to go run around like a fool. I just have to give little nuggets of wisdom. I just push them off my desk. Nugget number one. Oh, that's 4 tons. Oh, perhaps you've considered. And then I push, you know, all I'm doing nowadays is pushing nuggets off the shelf into the water. And they just go down. And I have that guy. That guy goes, man, I heard your sermon on such and such. I went, good, preach it better. Cook it up your way. Pastor Obey in Nigeria used to say, Dr. Craig, I cook it up Nigerian. I cook it up a little bit. It's good. It's good. It's wonderful. 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 But it has to have some batter. So I said, so in other words, you're going to cook it up a bit. He goes, no. He loves it when I imitate him. He goes, Dr. Craig, listen. Dr. Craig, do that preacher. You have to cook it up. Every truth you hear, all truth is God's truth, honey. You know, 2 plus 2 is 4 if the devil says it. So glean everywhere you go, but then cook it up your way because you are a leader maker. You have to realize you're not just throwing rocks around, that you're handling gemstones. You know, I thought last week, we always talk about crush the grape. Get the wine and crush the olive. And I thought about it, diamond dust. You have to crush diamonds to get diamond dust. You can only use diamond dust to polish diamonds. You have to have diamond dust. So that's another crush thing that I have to add to my list. You know, crush the cloud and get the water, crush the grain and get the bread, crush the diamond. See, some of you haven't understood that crushing in your life. Because you are being used to shape other leaders. And there's got to be some dust in that for you. There's got to be some crushing. You cannot be uncrushed. Remember, I mentioned a few weeks ago, when you throw that olive or that grape into the vat, it's neither grape nor wine for a while. What is it? Mulch? Schmichnechen, Michnachen. There's always like a, you know, what is that? Euch. Friend of mine one time said, what's that on your cheek? Get that schmutzig. It's a schmutzig. Get the schmutzig. What's it mean? It's nothing. It's like, you know, we used to sing to Grant, baby's got a schmutzig. Used to dance around and make my little child laugh with that stupid song. Do it again. Baby's gonna. About the 50th time, baby's got a schmutzig is not on the number one chart anymore. It's a schmutz. It's just like, get that off, whatever that is. Loved one, there is something so beautiful about the fact that even though you've been crushed, there's a beauty to it. And other people can tell. When you hang out with people that know God, remember, there are people who know God and people that know God. Which are you? Right? Lot knew Abraham. Abraham knew God. Demas knew Paul, but Paul knew God. It's like we really need to come into this intimacy and be one of the Barnabai. Say, Lord, I'll go anywhere. I'll vouch for anyone. And especially if it's new, I'm not going to get all my undies in a bundle. Gentiles being saved. That's suspicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, never been done before. You know, I often think of the Virgin Mary, that beautiful little girl. You realize that had never been done before? In history, there'd never been a virgin birth. Mary is living something forward that never happened before. Can you imagine that little happy dance at the house? I'm having a baby. No one to talk to. I'm having a baby. Joseph, you'll get this in about 48 hours. You're going to be fine. Can you imagine that? Even pregnant with the God-man, she had to worry about Joseph getting straightened out. God says, I got this. I'll talk to him. We'll have a talk. Gabriel, the same guy, is going to have to say, hey, the story's true. Marry her. But the shame still was in town, and they both had to live with that. Backstory always hinted. But it had never happened before. Mary was treading new ground, pregnant with the Messiah. Whew. Boy, that'll get you wanting to share. I heard a comedian that said, whenever he's at a party and somebody's bragging, you know how people at a party will like say, I have this or I have that. And his line was, well, I've been to the moon. He said, that just sort of levels everybody. Yeah. Rode in that little rover and, He says, that'll shut a party up just like that. Yeah, you can try that. I give you permission. Yeah, I've been to the moon. Huh? Really? Yep. So we understand law and grace, but I want to just, this is the part I want to introduce for today, and then we'll conclude. Barnabas, with all of his talents, all of his gifts, all of his tenderness, all of his balance and his ability to be used by God, had a weak underbelly. Do you know every gift has a cursed strength? Every strength is cursed. If you're confident, you're one step away from confidence into pride. If you're humble, you can be too humble and turn into a doormat in one step. It's so important to realize that whenever you have a sensitive area, a strength, like years ago, I had an Arnold Schwarzenegger right arm, the Austrian oak arm in giving. I would give to people. I would pick up the tab at the restaurant, always was the first to get it, everything. And then God introduced me to pointed over to my Auschwitz left arm of receiving. See, I could give, but you know when you're giving, you're in control? You know why giving feels so good sometimes? Because you are in control. When you're receiving, you're not in control. And so I would hide my weird arm, my special needs arm, with specially designed cloaks, but I was always giving. I was always in the position of giving. And then for a certain season, the Lord said, you know what? I need to develop your other arm. You know, you go to a restaurant, there's a door that goes into the kitchen and a door that comes out. You don't just have one door where you go in and never come out. So I was giving and giving and giving, and God said, you know, how about you're going to have to learn how to receive for an extended period of time? And I thought, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Yeah, it was him. He didn't leave. And so things in my life began to shift where I was in a position I'd never been in before where I had to receive in ministry. I had to receive. Oh, my God. Boy, that's a hard lesson, loved one. Let's get past that one real quick. But you see, in every strength, there's an underbelly. There's an underside. And with regard to encouragers, when you're an encourager, sometimes the gift of encouragement can have an underbelly of weakness. And Barnabas was vulnerable to minimizing truth for the sake of relationship. Sometimes under pressure, Barnabas was what we would call a little codependent. You know you're codependent when a codependent dies, someone else's life passes before their eyes. And they say, you're all right, how am I? You know. Gretchen's never heard that. My God, I struck pay dirt. Oh, I... Yeah. Let's linger. The funny is not off that yet. Gretchen, oh my God. See, that laughter I prophesied over her right now. You and Stacy would be done right now. So we can't let you sit together. I'm sorry. We got to do family business. I don't care who's listening in right now. I just realized we allow Sandra to sit there, you to sit there, Stacy to sit... My God, leader maker, good God in heaven. Keep laughing in God's house. We'll see how long that... Has anyone ever realized that if you have a gift of... It's the laughter movement is coming back. Yeah. When you have a gift of encouragement, you can sometimes under pressure minimize truth to keep the relationship, just keep everything nice, right? So this happens. I'm just going to give this one example, then we'll close. In Galatians chapter 2, we see that Barnabas was a wonderful guy, but if you pressed him enough, have you ever met legalistic brethren that just come in and assault your senses? They just come walking in with their tone and their body language, and they want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And they sit you down, and they always get you to wonder if you're saved. Are you saved, or you just think you're saved? Huh? Have you thought about that? I'm thinking, yeah, I'm saved. What are you talking? Who are you? What are you? They just come in. Well, they had a bunch of these guys that began to hear Gentiles are being saved, and they said, that's not possible. A Gentile would have to become a Jew, be circumcised, keep the law, and then they can accept Christ. And so these weird legalistic brethren come strutting in like peacocks. And get this mental image. It's Antioch. The new thing is born. The Gentiles are being saved. All they have to do is take a bite of ham, swig it down with some milk, and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Bang, that's it. They're saved. So now it's really a new thing. And so Peter goes there, and he's there, and Barnabas is there. Of course, he's the co-founder of this whole thing. And they all were eating freely together. Imagine a big table. There's Jew and Gentile. You know, you're knocking a little milk over and it's mixing onto the meat. It's a whole thing. And then some of these legalistic prigs from Jerusalem come down. The spirit of religion that quenches every joyful thing. Hello. Here they come. What's going on here? Who's, what's the? And there was still enough latent shame in Peter and Barnabas. You know how when loud people come in, you can sort of shame you and start screaming? Well, these legalists come in and they say, what are you doing eating with these Gentiles? And right then, Peter, in a moment of weakness, steps away from the Gentile table and goes over to the Jewish table to be with the highbrow kosher folk. And even Barnabas, Paul says, even Barnabas gave way under pressure and left the Gentile table and went back over to the kosher table. And Paul went nuts. Paul goes, What are you doing? He rebukes Peter to his face. He goes, how dare you? God has made us all one in Christ, and we're all one, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And yet when religious pressure gets on you, Barnabas and Peter, you go slithering off because your boundaries aren't strong enough. You ever done that? Ever been a coward? Just a little bit. You wouldn't stand up for what was true. You wouldn't take a stand for what was right, even if everyone hated your guts. Boy, what we're coming into in the future, we got to have our boundaries solid so that nobody can intimidate us from our stand in God. I don't care if they're blowing a horn. I don't care if they come screaming at you with 20 devils. You have to be able to stand in the name of Jesus, having done all. Stand. So isn't it sort of nice to see Barnabas had an underbelly of weakness? I'm sort of tickled with that. Yeah, well, he's cool, but, you know, all of us have a strain, a boundarylessness, that if the right person yells the right way and manipulates just loud enough, we will move our car. You can have the parking space. I'm not going to fight over it. I always say, choose your battles to my kids. You don't want to die to the death on the wrong battle. Yeah, well, I was there first. It's my parking place. All be damned. You know, it's, sometimes you need to yield. But do you see, Barnabas had, under pressure, his encouragement heart tended to buckle if there's enough pressure. Now, that's good news for us, because it shows you that when the Holy Spirit moves and births a new work that's uncommon, it's going to be attacked in an uncommon way. And you have to be ready for that. You have to have your suit of boundary, your boundary armor on. Put your little face mask down, ready for the joust, because you're going to have, and no, it's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's always a religious spirit that attacks the work of God. It was so-called legalists from Jerusalem. They're here. Where are they? Well, sitting like a bunch of crows over there at the kosher table, making comments out loud. Peter, so-called Pope, come sit over here. What are you sitting? You know what? Have you ever just been outdone with pressure and you're just too tired and you just give in? Just go, okay. Loved one, the Barnabai must be aware that you don't have bonding or boundaries. It's boundaries and bonding. You don't have grace or truth. It's grace and truth together. We need the scepter of grace, right? Always. But we need the sword of truth. Because grace without truth is license, and truth without grace is legalism. So here we see the legalists. That's what they smell like. They come in a room and shush all the fun. I mean, at Stacy and Mark's wedding, we had the table to be at. Oh, my God. They dared to put Gretchen at that table, Maudette's at that table. We had more fun than the bride and groom. And they put us way in the back. I was a little offended by that. I never figured out why the kiddie table had to be 14 leagues in the back. It was because Dennis was there. And Dennis was there enjoying his good steak, his rare, succulent. Yeah, I think I can use every word possible to draw attention to his. He goes, my steak is perfect. Look. And I'm thinking, itahita namaha. In the name of Jesus. That's still hovering over him. He's still enjoying the memory of it. Yeah. Oh, Barnabai, you precious encouragers. We're going to have to be boundaried about moving forward. You know, I call them rash vows. I was going to wave Daniel and Helen up. I'm going to wave David up. I'm just going into the ending here. And what was I saying? Rash vows. Yeah, I was talking to a young lady the other day who said, I promised somebody something and I gave my word. And I said, you know, the Bible has a reality called rash vows. That means you can commit to something verbally and then realize later that you cursed yourself. And there was a category called rash vows where a husband or a father was allowed to cancel a rash vow. Isn't it nice to know God can unlock what you lock yourself in? Well, a righteous man swears to his own hurt and repents not. Yeah, that's wisdom. That doesn't say everyone that ever swears on any matter can't get out. You can get out. There's a way out. When you make a bad vow, sometimes you got to get out as quick as you possibly can. You have to say, Lord, I need to cancel this, and embarrass yourself. Say, everybody, I made a rash vow. But I promised I'd pay their rent forever. It's like, hold on. Remember when you're a young Christian, you made vows like all the time. You know, I will pray for 9 hours a day. Shh. Quit. Quit tying yourself up in knots. Rash vows can be canceled. They can be canceled. And this whole scene, I'm just going to close with reading. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. That's Peter. Paul is talking about Peter, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, the legalists, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. They're called the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. Oops. See, when a leader sins, he teaches sin. See? The other Jews joined him. I mean, if Peter's doing this, you got to follow the leader, right? The problem with leaders is they can lead to hell as well as lead to heaven. Amen. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Oh, no. Not Barney. Not old Barn. Yes, see, that was his enough shame still natively in him that he could be intimidated, because of the underbelly of the sensitivity of his gifting. Even Barnabas was led astray, and when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Ooh, Paul was snappy about this. Boy, when you got to rebuke Peter himself and put him in line, leaders need to be rebuked by other leaders. Notice the hypocrisy was, this work at Antioch was so dear to God. It was so new. It was so fragile that it had to come with immaculate boundaries. Not sinlessness, but they had to really keep the thing fresh and pure. You know, a church can be defiled. You let the wrong people in, you defile a church. Ever had unsafe people you let in your life? And it's just literally like they come in and they just poop all over everything and they kick everything down and they make a mess. And it's like that emotionally and spiritually happens when certain people come into your space. And you have to say, not here, not me, not mine, not us. Nope, not allowed. As a pastor, one of the main things we have to do as shepherds is make sure crazy does not get in here and stay in here. Crazy can visit, but it can't stay. Because one unsafe person can wreck the sanctity I'm looking at right here. One nut allowed in to preside spiritually or with a religious spirit can kill everything God is trying to do in a church. And then everybody has no boundaries to make them leave. Well, I wouldn't want to ask them to leave. You know, this is America. Well, shepherds. Yeah. Kim raised her hand. She said, I'll take care of it. There, the sword of the Lord and of Kim. That's all right. And she back there with Dennis, who's trying to figure out what to do with that tiki cane. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray a special anointed prayer for all the Barnabai, Lord. All these precious leader makers, God, these risk takers, these, thank you for your mercy, Lord, that covers our unrighteousness. Thank you so much for a balance of law and grace in all of our hearts right now. Thank you, Lord. We all need grace and truth in our hearts, in our families, in our world. We want to make leaders. We want to disciple folk in your word and in your truth, Lord, with the spirit and the demeanor of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you, where we fall, where we're imbalanced maybe, where codependency has taken over and it looks really spiritual, we pray that you would push us out of the ditch of codependency and right back on the road of grace and truth. Thank you so much, Lord, that wherever it is we need a little adjustment in our grace and truth, our handling of both, that you would adjust us like tuning a guitar. That if our pitch is a little sharp, a little flat, that you're the one that's just going to make it just right. Thank you for these safe men, women, boys, and girls I'm speaking over. They are not unsafe people. They are safe people in your house, anointed to train others in their safety and the beauty. And Lord, I pray for the beauty of their spirit. The spirit of Barnabas would just anoint us like fresh oil and fragrance in this house. The temple smelled of woods and frankincense and pine. And it's so beautiful to smell the temple of Solomon. When you went inside, there's frankincense and there's every beautiful fragrance. And we pray, Lord, in our interior life, that that fragrance would be sweet. Around us, a fragrance of safety would prevail. And we ask you to bring your beautiful fire and burn out any of the wood hand stubble still left of our shame, our guilt, not having solid boundaries when we should, learning how to say no when we need to. And thank you, Lord, that you're a God who's tuning us and you will get glory out of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Give me a Barnabas shout or something like that. Well, yeah. Amen. Yeah.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.